Kenneth Rego, and I'm from Uganda. I serve, like you mentioned, with an organization called Eden Mission, and we basically minister to families, especially pastors' families. And so we have trainings here in a town called Rubaya and in Ijwi in the next 2 weeks. And we are doing that with my two brothers, pastors Juma, please stand, and then our pastor Emma. They are good, faithful, committed children of God that are serving Him in different ways. So it's a blessing to be here with you this morning and to share the Word of God with you. We're going to be talking about, I'm married, have 4 children, and they live in Kampala. We're going to be talking about a servant after God's heart. That's the next few minutes. That's what we're going to be talking about. And we are going to be using David as our sharing, and we're going to be referring to him and seeing who he was, what he did, what he shared, and reading different portions of scripture in the Bible. But before we go into that, and as our sister was sharing about the mom and the passing of a mother, we have a saying in our language that a mother, it's only a mother that you can lose and can't get back. And, you know, I started thinking a mother might be 90 and they go to be with the Lord. But a mother is always a mother. A mother takes care of things that nobody can take care of. A few weeks I was in my village where I'm born, and I was leaving for a training of pastors, and I didn't want to be late, so I was leaving before breakfast. So my mother, who is 70 something, my dad, was saying, you know, you need to go with something. So he got bread and put in a small bag and gave me to eat as I go. The way, what you do for a kid who is in kindergarten, take this with you. And I realized that parents are parents no matter what your age is. They always are important in our lives. And so that brought back those memories. And so when they pass on, even when we are grateful for the Lord for what they've been to us, we miss them. Amen. And so we thank God for that mama. Amen. Related to our message is a gentleman, I think some of you know him. He was called Steve Jobs. He was involved in the making of computers like Apple, iPhone. And so before he died, on his deathbed, they were asking him one thing he would want to do or say before he dies. And he said, if God could add me just one more day or add me a little more time, I would be grateful. He was rich, had made a lot of money through the Apple world, but the resources he had could not add one day on his life. And there are many people, I guess you know, all over the world that would have bought life back. But money cannot buy life back. Connections cannot buy life back. Exposure, education, everything cannot bring life back. And when it goes, it's gone. You go to another life, but our day-to-day life here is gone. And so I was thinking about a servant after God's heart. And in Acts 13:22, the Bible says, after removing Saul, he made David their king. He testified concerning him, and that's the part that I wanted to talk about. I found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. And I started saying, God, for the years I'm here on earth, before I go to heaven, I want you to say, I found a Kenneth. A Kenneth. A man after my own heart. I wish you could put your name. I don't know your names. But if you could put your name and say, I imagine God saying, mentioning your name. Some of you work in different places. And when your supervisor mentions about you in front of all the staff, you go and sleep well that night. I don't know if you've had that experience. Before all staff, and your supervisor says, we are proud to have so and so in this company. If they call you in front, you can easily fall down as you go in front. Because you can't believe among 100 staff, the leader of the organization feels you are a special person. But imagine if God said, I found a lady, I found a man that is after my own heart. What a big, nice thing that would be. And so David, God looked at David and said, this man, that doesn't mean he didn't have weaknesses, by the way. All of you and me might have weaknesses, but what's your passion? Is your passion to see that there is a difference in your life as you serve God? But God said, I found after my own heart. I'll do everything. He will do everything I want him to do. And so we're going to share briefly some of the qualities of a servant who is after God's heart. And we'll be using the words that David used in the different in different portions of the Bible, especially in Psalms. And the first one, the first quality is loving. Loving, before I got married, I was dating my wife, and I really loved this lady. I don't know if some of you have been in love. You know what love means. Love makes you confused. Confused. And so this lady would send me a message, and I would read the message. And a simple message, one sentence. But you feel like the whole world is in that message. Then you read it. And when you get some issues, you disagree on something, and she doesn't send a message for a day, you're saying, God, it's like, again, the world has closed around you. And so we used to, you know, during that time, more than any other time, after marriage, those of you who are here and you are married, you know what it means. Things change a bit. The I love you reduces a little than in dating time. Dating, it's all over. I love you. You are the only person. I'll love you until Lake Kivu is empty. Our whatever. So you are all over. But after marriage, things start changing. I hope those who are here, things have not changed. But David said, I love you, O Lord. My strength, everything. Like, you are my everything. And I started thinking, if I could transfer that passion I had for my wife, and this is a human being with errors, with gaps, with mistakes, with everything, and transfer that type of love to God, it would make an amazing difference. Just imagine those messages. Somebody sends you a message and you delete every message and you leave that message. Because when you are stressed and you read it, it refreshes you. And it's a message from a human being. What about the word of God that refreshes you, do you understand what I'm talking about? A message from a human being who might even be lying, by the way, who might even not be saying the truth, sends you a message, and that message makes the whole world like glitter. But the word of God does not make sense to you. You read it when you go to church on Sunday morning in the English service. So, if our desire is to be the children that God would be proud of, we need to be in love with God. If you are in love with somebody and you don't hear from them, you are not comfortable. If your wife, your daughter, your... I'm sure if you would not hear from your mama... Sorry, I'm going to be using your case. You know, you don't hear about your mom. You're calling, is she okay? Is everything okay? Because you love her. You have a connection, an emotional connection with her. But what about the God who decided that you would come to this planet Earth? The God who formed you from nothing. The God who said, I think this person, I need him to be who he is. The connection is not there. So the first point is loving. And I want to, as we talk about this, just check your life. Ask yourself, where am I as far as that point is concerned? Where am I in my prayer life? Where am I in my reading the Word of God? Where am I in fellowship? Why do I go to church on a Sunday morning? Is it a religious activity? Do I leave my home to go there so that I mingle with my friends? Do I go to church because I have a new dress? Oh, not only a new dress, even a new suit or whatever it is. But there are people that go to church because I have a new thing, I need to present it somewhere. Why do you come to church on a Sunday morning? Praise the Lord. The second part was repentance. The person, qualities of a servant after God's heart, a repentant heart, a repentant spirit. And in Psalm 25:11, David says, for the sake of your name, O Lord, forgive my iniquity, for it is great. I don't know how our repentant life is, but I've found there are situations that happen in my life, and I feel I don't want the repentance component is far from my life. Quickly, you think I need to teach them a lesson, or I need them to first feel it before I intervene. Some of you have people in your families that you've been supporting or getting involved, and they are not really coming forth. And you keep putting money, you reach a point and say, oh, let them learn a lesson for a certain period of time. But David, we are learning from him that the spirit of repentance, the spirit of asking God, my life is not right, I need to for you to forgive me. And as we come to church, it's like a bathroom. When you go to take a shower, you are ideally not clean. And so when you go in that shower room, wherever you take your shower from, some take showers when they are sleeping, others take it when they are standing, whichever way you take your shower, you don't put on clothes when you're going to take a shower. Praise the Lord. You remove them and put them wherever. And most times you don't put on the clothes you are putting on before the shower, isn't it? You change. And so when we come to church, it's like a shower. It's like you've gone to a bathroom. That when you leave back, you enter your car, you sit on your motorcycle, you walk back home. You don't take back the dirt that you came with to church. And as I say this, I'm sure some of you here might have come here with some dirt. The dirt you need to tell God, God, I'm seated before this, in this congregation, and I look smart, I look clean, and I even look hoary. During worship, my hands were up, but you know me. You know me. That's the good thing with God. If he opened our inner part, many of us would run in different directions. If he projected everybody here line by line, people would scatter. Sure. But our God is a good God. He wants you to go to him and say, God, I'm sorry. Here it wasn't good, it wasn't good, it wasn't good. And I need to be a new child before you. Praise the Lord. The third point is obedience. And Psalm 119 says, give me understanding and I will keep the law and obey it with all my heart. I don't know if they understand what that scripture means. If you say to obey something with all your heart, it's like you can die for it. Your everything is part of it. And so David was saying, give me an understanding. Teach me. Help me get to know more. Help me to understand what you want me to do, that I will be a servant after your own heart. And so the word of God, again, like we were saying earlier, is something that we need to feed on. Like you eat food. Some of you maybe came early and you did not take breakfast. And you are thinking about what you will take for breakfast. We agreed with our friends that when you go back, we will have breakfast. But you might be here and you are thinking about breakfast at home. Because you must feed on that breakfast. The word of God is like food, that when we feed on it, we understand it. Some of you, when you get jobs, they tell you what the human resource policies say, that you must follow them. And if you go off a bit, you are shown exit. And so the word of God needs, we need to learn it, and when we learn it, we obey it with everything about us. Praise the Lord. The fourth point is being full of praise. And we are using David because God said he found somebody he can delegate to and he will do everything well. And so which other example can we use other than the person God was very proud of? Psalm 9:1 says, I'll praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. I'll tell of all your wonders. When you praise somebody, it's common with us in the preaching circles, when you're introducing your wife. I think if she was there here today, I would talk a lot of nice things about her. Stand up for recognition, my wife. That's my wife, the most beautiful person in the world. You know what pastors do. Please stand up. You see, I don't think they see. You praise her because you think she's special, because you think she's somebody important in your life. And so a servant after God's heart must recognize that God is somebody special in their lives. Must recognize that there is something unique that God has for you in a package. You must know in Uganda we have a king in central Uganda called the Kabaka of Buganda, of a tribe called Baganda. That man is very, very powerful. That when he's passing, people would want even him to step on them. That when he steps on you, it's like the Kabaka stepped on me. He's and when he says, they say Kabaka ala gide, like the king has ordered. Whether it's wrong, whether it's right, the king has done what? Has ordered. And when people are praising the Kabaka, they say words, I don't know what they are in English. Maguru nyundo, chuchu, kuku, Ryan. They call him all names you can think of, like the most powerful person in the world. He's like Ryan, he's the husband of all wives, like he's whatever. When they are praising him, you can't think there is any human being bigger than Kabaka Mutebi in the world. And that's a human being, Kabaka of Buganda, who was born by a woman like my mother, who was born, was carried for 9 months, and soon any time he might die, like me. But he's like Ryan, he's like the king of everything. And so I always think, what if we transfer that to the God that knows you in and out? The God that takes care of your everything. If you come here, some of us might come the morning. I like our sister, I think she was led by the Spirit, who was leading worship at some point and mentioned of somebody who might have come here and you have a burden. And you leave home and something is really not going well. And you are in church, but no tears being seen, but there's a lot of tears in your life. And some of these tears, you even can't share that situation with anybody because maybe they will not understand you or they will take the stories all over. And so you decide, God, let me go before you. And you who sees what human beings can't see, you will take care of it. Our God is a God that we praise because he goes an extra mile. He goes to a part of our lives that no human being can go to. No human being can see, and nobody can fix. Our husbands, our wives, our parents, our good friends can fix up to some level. But it's the level beyond which that things can't be fixed. The fifth point is gratefulness. Praise the Lord. Psalm 4:7 says, you have filled my heart with greater joy than when their grain and new wine abound. You filled my heart with great joy, with greater joy. The spirit of appreciation for servants of God should be big because God has been good to us. I don't know whether you realize that when things are going well in your life,
you forget that God has been good to you. And you keep thinking, oh, you get an appointment and you are an officer somewhere. Or you are doing something somewhere. And you are now starting to compare yourself with your super senior because you want to be senior. You forget that God got you from nowhere and placed you where you are. Now you forget appreciating for where you are. You start saying, God, it's even like money. You want one 5,000 US dollars or two or three or 500 or whatever it is, you get it. When you get it, it's when you start saying, God, but I also need this one. You get a motorcycle, you say, I need a car. God brings a car, you say, but this car is more God. Then they bring the big car, you say, but this car doesn't move with warming myself. And then God says, this human being, who bewitched this one? Every time I breathe, then they think, God, God, God. It's like a child who is never grateful. You reach a point and say, God, how? Gratefulness. I don't know how grateful you are in your life. If you are not, remember to be grateful to God for the things He has done for you. And if you list, there are too many. Praise the Lord. Six, trust. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I'm saved from my enemies. Trust. 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 Psalm 18:3. This world is full of people that the devil has planted to disorganize our lives. And they will always be there. Their objective is to make you look bad. Their objective is to make you feel you are nothing. And when success doesn't come, it is a topic. You know Lugambo. We call it Lugambo in Uganda. But gossip. Gossipers enjoy the negative. Positive gossip does not excite. I don't know whether you realize that. Gossip that is exciting is negative. That's why you'll find, I don't want to say women, but that's why you'll find human beings when they come together. A negative thing about somebody excites, creates long talk. But good things are short. You talk about it and you are done and you keep quiet. And it's over. But negative things, can you imagine? Even me, I saw it, and I knew it's going to it was going to happen. It was a matter of time. Wait, you will see what is going to happen. And before you realize, it's 2 hours talking about the same person rotating around. Praise the Lord. When you trust God, He fights those people for you. And they are there. Some are even probably in this church looking horrid. But they are planted to destroy somebody. And the only person that can protect you from those people is God. Not a supervisor, not your parents, not your friends, but God. Praise the Lord. And finally, humble. Praise God. Humility is something that you can't explain. It's something that wins people naturally. You ask somebody who is your closest friend and somebody you like most likely they are humble. You talk and they listen. You want help, you call them and they answer. They are down to earth. But those whose wings are bigger than this church, you find there is something that is not attracting you to them. And exactly that's what happens with the Lord. Because He hates the proud. The Bible also says, pride comes before a what? A fall. So humility is a characteristic of a humble servant of God. That they come down when situations require them to go up. If you need people to know what your title is, do things that they know who you are. Speaking about it will not make you be any bigger. But when people see who you are, it makes a big difference. Praise the Lord. So David's example gives us great guidance on how we can live our lives. And I pray that as we live here today, we'll think about these few points. One, how's your love life? As far as, I'm not talking about your spouses or your girlfriends or your boyfriends. That one I know you'll do it when you are sleeping, when you are dozing. You'll love them. But I'm talking about the God that loves you, that loved you without any place. Two, how's your repentant life? How are you relating with God? Three,
your obedience. Are you obeying what God tells us to do? And four, is God getting the praise he deserves from your life? Are you grateful to God? Is God, are you appreciating him for the things he has done? Or you are saying, God, 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 God. And then six, trust. And lastly, humility. And those will make a big difference. They will make us, when we live here and go through the week, people to see Christ in our lives. May God bless you.
Thank you very much, Pastor Ken. That was a very...